Chapter 16, Unanticipated Rifts. The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. Mahatma Gandhi. As Edward was preparing his breakfast and getting ready, everybody in the house stared at him in astonishment. Where is that sad face of him? Was the question everybody had in mind. He ate his breakfast and got ready for school, but he was late. Inquiring about his friend's availability after school, Edward asked his father if he could visit one of his friends. Edward informed his father that he would be taking the bus to the school. When he got to school, he went straight to the first class scheduled for the day. The second class was a physics test. He took a deep breath before opening the exam paper and told himself, "No more lies, no more hate, and no more anger." He opened the exam and began to answer the questions on it. After attempting the exam, he asked his teacher if it was possible to grade it right now. The teacher granted his request and graded it. After that, the teacher handed it over to Edward. Edward took the exam papers and walked out of the classroom. When the teacher found out that Edward had a very high grade, she was shocked. To get to Hassan, Edward took a bus to Mike and Nye's. When the restaurant called Hassan to tell him that Edward was waiting for him, Hassan was relieved. He got there as soon as he could. Hassan walked into the restaurant and went straight to Edward, who was waiting for him at the table.
"Hi, Edward.
I came as soon as possible. Sorry for being late," Hassan apologized to Edward for the wait.
"Hi, I am sorry to come here, but I didn't know your address or phone number. I figured if I came here, I could meet you," Edward apologized to Hassan for coming to the restaurant.
"Is everything all right with you?" Hassan asked anxiously. Edward took the exam papers from his bag and gave them to Hassan. Hassan looked at his grade and smiled.
"You did great."
Hassan greeted the kid while smiling.
"I am sorry if I offended you. I don't know who you are or what you want, but please don't tear us apart."
Edward burst out in tears while sharing his grief with Hassan.
"You didn't offend me and I have no intention to tear your family apart. I don't know how things will go between your father and me, but I want you to know I am on your side."
Hassan acted calmly and tried to clear Edward's confusion. It was then that Hassan approached Edward, wiped his tears, and asked him to smile. Edward embraced Hassan and said, "Thank you.
I will take you home, and we can all have dinner together," said Hassan.
"Okay." Edward nodded. In a phone call with Klaus, Hassan asked that he wait until he arrived for dinner. Klaus was taken aback by Hassan's proposal. Hassan drove Edward home and texted Klaus to open the door before he arrived. A smiling Hassan and Edward walked past Klaus as he opened the door. He was left shocked at what he witnessed. Hassan stopped and said, "Hey, Klaus.
We are here.
What is happening?" Klaus asked as he was confused by what he was seeing.
"Relax, Edward wanted to see me.
So, we talked," Hassan assured Klaus that everything was fine. Klaus was handed over the test paper. He was pleasantly surprised. Then he grabbed Edward by the arm and said, "I am very proud of you," and gave him a forehead kiss. Then, as Edward left the room, Klaus held Hassan in his arms and kissed him. In Hassan's ear, Klaus whispered, "Thank you." Then Hassan went into the room with a smile and Klaus shut the door behind him. A few months later, John was sitting in his office when he received a message from Carlos. John smiled as he saw the message and read it out loud. John began dating Carlos, but he was afraid to face Hassan. Every time Carlos came over, he made sure that Hassan wouldn't be able to see him. His goal was for Carlos to feel comfortable around Hassan and not be intimidated. As Pete made his way to a restaurant, Pete's cousin spotted him. His cousin walked up to him and started a conversation with him.
"Hey, Pete."
Jonathan greeted.
"Jonathan.
Oh, my God.
How are you?"
Pete was rather surprised.
"I am okay.
Thanks.
How are you doing?"
Jonathan asked about Pete's health.
I am doing great, Pete replied.
Why didn't you come home?
This is home. I work at this restaurant.
You look great.
I have a job and an amazing boyfriend.
I am happy for you.
I have to go now, I have a job to do.
See you around.
See you.
To get to the restaurant, Pete took a brisk stroll. In the meantime, Jonathan picked up his phone and made a call to Pete's dad and told him that he had located Pete. On the other hand, there was a tense moment going on between Kyle and Kara. Kyle made a call to Kara. He wanted to tell her how much he cared for and respected her. It was as if her veins were tingling with electricity. She put the phone near her heart, took a deep breath, and smiled after the call ended. Andrew was at the hospital at the time. During his walk around the hospital, he was feeling a bit down. Despite being surrounded by his roommates, his loneliness was growing. There were too many nonsense hookups and one-night stands one could have. He was looking for something consistent this time. He bought a sandwich from the cafeteria and sat down at a table alone. He took a good look around. He was the only one who was sitting by himself in the room. He walked to the restroom, leaving his sandwich on the table. He closed the stall's door, put his hand on his mouth and cried without making a sound. Hassan was at work when he heard a familiar voice, "We met again." Hassan turned around and he saw Roy.
"Hey, Roy, right?"
Hassan tried to confirm his assumption.
"Yes, Roy.
How are you doing?"
Roy confirmed it.
"I am doing well.
Thanks for asking, and yourself?"
Hassan asked.
"I am doing great.
I wished we had time to talk on that day.
I would like to get to know you.
What do you think of going on a date?"
Roy instantly asked Hassan out for a date.
"A date?"
Hassan smiled while replying.
"I want to know you.
Here is my number.
No pressure, when you are ready, give me a call."
Roy left after handing his business card to Hassan. Hassan took Roy's business card and said, "Okay." Camille saw their little interaction, she walked to Hassan and talked to him.
"Was that my brother Roy?"
Camille pretended as if she was not aware of the situation.
"Yes."
Hassan answered.
"What did he talk about?"
Camille asked.
"He asked me on a date and gave me his number," Hassan told Camille about his conversation with Roy.
"Hassan, I hope you will understand.
He is my brother, he is healthy and..."
"No need.
Here is his card."
Hassan interrupted Camille.
He gave Camille Roy's card and walked away. He felt he was burning inside.
He went to his desk, collected his stuff, and left. When he reached home, Klaus was calling him.
"Hey, hey, Hassan.
Are you free tonight?"
"I can't.
I have to do something."
"Tomorrow?
Can I ask you something?"
"Sure.
Are we heading somewhere, or are we just having fun?"
Hassan asked Klaus.
"We are having fun," Klaus replied.
"That's what I thought.
Anyway, I am done with the fun. Now I am searching for something serious."
Hassan informed Klaus about his relationship plans.
"So, this is goodbye?"
"Yes.
Goodbye, Klaus."
"Goodbye, Hassan."
Hassan hung up the phone and went to his room, where he cried in the dark. Face tissues in hand, he sat in his bedside chair. As Andrew walked into the house, he was sobbing. He went to Hassan's room when he saw Hassan's shoes. He entered the room, "I need to talk to you,"
Andrew said.
He saw Hassan on the floor, crying.
"What happened to you?"
Andrew tried to inquire Hassan about his reason to cry.
"HIV happened to me."
"What happened to you?" Hassan raised his voice a little out of frustration while talking to Andrew.
"Loneliness happened to me.
Sit here.
Misery loves company.
What are we going to do?"
"I have no idea.
At least you have Klaus."
I have no one.
I ended it with him.
Why?
He doesn't want anything serious, Hassan said with a sad smile.
Now, we are miserable people who are cursed to be alone.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I am tired.
I will lay on the bed.
I will lay next to you.
And just like that, they both fell asleep on the bed.
The next morning, everyone sat around the table for breakfast.
Andrew hadn't cracked a joke or even said a word in the whole conversation.
Hassan was using his laptop to take notes and jot them down on paper.
Kara looked at Hassan and Andrew and asked them, "What happened to you both?"
They replied together, "Nothing."
John looked at Hassan's laptop and then said, "Why are you searching for adoption agencies?"
"You said it, adoption agencies," Hassan said.
"What happened to you?" asked Kara.
"Leave him be.
Not everyone can be happy all the time."
Andrew intervened.
"You both need to talk now," Ethan said in a rather commanding tone.
"I want to adopt a baby.
Is that too much to ask?"
Hassan informed the group of his plans.
"What is going on?"
Pete asked as he was confused about the whole situation.
"Simply, I am miserable, and he is lonely," Hassan said on behalf of Andrew.
"That is not simple."
Kyle denied Hassan's statement.
"Yes, it is simple."
Andrew corrected Kyle.
"What happened with you and Klaus?"
John asked Hassan.
"Nothing happened.
We are not together."
Hassan told everyone about his breakup.
"Is that because you broke up with Klaus?"
Ethan asked, pointing to his laptop and referring to his adoption plan.
"He wasn't looking for something serious, and I knew that already.
So, no, because of Klaus,"
Hassan said.
"What is it about?"
John asked.
"I was called a whore last week, and people are afraid of me," Hassan replied.
"Why?" asked Pete. "Because he is living with HIV.
Andrew intervened again but yelled this time.
"I am sick of all the drama. All I want is a normal life.
I no longer have the energy to stand up every time I fall," Hassan replied.
Hassan shut his laptop, collected all his stuff and made his way to a nearby restaurant.
After Hassan and Andrew left the house, everybody was staring at each other in disbelief, wondering, what just happened?
Pete was on his way to the restaurant to begin his workday when he noticed someone walking toward him.
He was stopped by a voice he recognized.
Seeing his father, he turned to face him.
"What are you doing here?"
Pete yelled.
Hassan saw Pete talking to a man angrily.
He went outside and watched Pete. "I just came to ask you for forgiveness,"
Pete's father replied.
"Forgiveness?
For destroying my life or letting my mother die?
For what are you asking for forgiveness?"
Pete started venting out.
"You are my blood,"
Pete's father tried to convince his son.
"What kind of blood made you watch me get raped by a man over and over just because I am different?"
Pete asked in anger.
"I was blind,"
Pete's father tried to justify his doings.
"You need to go."
"I can give you nothing," Pete told his father to leave.
"You are my son."
Pete's father was adamant about convincing him.
"You are not my father.
You are D." Pete was about to lash out, but suddenly, Hassan interrupted him.
"That's enough.
Pete, go inside."
Hassan told Pete, "Are you his partner?"
Pete's father asked Hassan.
"I am not, but I am a family," Hassan replied.
"Please tell him I am sorry," Pete's father asked Hassan to convey his apologies to Pete.
"If you are sorry, you need to tell him yourself."
Hassan denied the request.
"He won't listen to me," Pete's father expressed to Hassan that what he suggested was impossible.
"Not by word.
What you have done is unforgivable.
You need to show him that you are sorry."
Hassan came up with a suggestion for Pete's father.
"I will.
Thank you."
Pete's father thanked Hassan and left.
Hassan entered the restaurant after Pete's father left.
Upon entering,
he found Pete sobbing in front of the front door.
Hassan went up to him and hugged him. Once he calmed down, the two walked together to the office.
"I am sorry all of that happened here."
Pete apologized to Hassan for creating a scene.
"No need to worry," Hassan replied.
"Why did you stop me?"
Pete asked.
"Simply, he is still your father," and I could see the regret in his eyes.
"The kind of regret that eats you up alive.
I stopped you because I don't want you to be like him.
I don't want you to regret or do anything wrong."
He assured Pete, then to distract him, he said, "You can take the day off.
Go home and have some rest."
Hassan took Ruby to the hospital a few weeks after the accident.
She was in poor health.
In the waiting room, Hassan was waiting for news about Ruby and her baby.
He put his head in the palm of his hands when he heard a familiar voice.
It was Klaus, who had tears in his eyes when Hassan looked at him.
He sat down next to Hassan in the front row.
"What are you doing here?"
Hassan asked Klaus.
"Charlie is having her baby," Klaus replied while sobbing.
"Then, why are you crying?"
Hassan asked.
"Her cervix did not dilate enough.
She is having a very rough time,"
Klaus replied.
"I am sorry to hear that.
What are you doing here?"
"Ruby is a girl who works with me, she is here having a baby,"
Hassan explained.
"I miss you.
Klaus, please, not now.
Can I ask you one last thing to do for me?"
"What is it?"
"Just talk to Charlie."
"Okay, I will.
Can you wait here for Ruby?"
"Sure."
"Where is Charlie's room?"
"Third one on the left."
Hassan went to Charlie's room. As soon as he entered, Charlie looked at him and yelled, "Where the hell have you been?"
"I am here now," Hassan answered.
"You promised me you would be here for me," Charlie kept on yelling.
"I am sorry."
Hassan apologized to her.
"I can have the baby now.
Can you please press this button?"
Charlie said.
A nurse and an obstetrician arrived as soon as he pressed the button.
Hassan sat behind Charlie and held her hand as he listened to her story.
Even though she was exhausted, she continued to push until her baby was born.
She was completely drained.
Then Hassan checked to see if she was okay, so he could leave.
"I am not done with you."
Charlie tried to stop Hassan.
"I am afraid I've done my part," Hassan replied.
"You left him alone and miserable."
Charlie blamed Hassan for Klaus' mental health.
"He doesn't want something serious, and I can't be with him."
Hassan justified his stance.
"He has changed, thanks to you,"
Charlie told Hassan.
"I have to go."
Hassan insisted on leaving.
"You are not going anywhere until you answer me."
Charlie ordered Hassan to stay.
"Do you want your father to be with me?"
"We all want that."
"What?
Your father didn't tell you that I am living with HIV.
Stop being the king of the drama.
He is falling for you, and he doesn't care."
"I do.
I know the feeling of someone hurting you so badly and you excluding everyone who wants to be close to you.
He needs you, and you need him.
I've never seen him smile the way you make him smile.
So, stop this nonsense.
Look me in the eyes and tell me you are better off without him, and I will let you go."
In the midst of all this, Hassan was crying and Klaus had entered the room as well.
"I want to be with you."
Klaus came in and confessed to Hassan.
Klaus moved toward Hassan, put his hand on his face, and wiped his tears.
"My family needs you.
I need you,"
Klaus told Hassan.
"I no longer have the energy to stand up every time I fall.
I am exhausted," Hassan replied.
"I know," Klaus said.
"Hassan, I want you to name my girl," Charlie asked Hassan to name her newly born baby girl.
"What about Peyton?"
Hassan asked.
"Peyton.
I like it.
Peyton, meet your grandfather and future grandfather."
Charlie liked Hassan's suggested name for her baby.
"I have to check on Ruby."
Hassan tried to excuse himself to check on his colleague.
"She is waiting for you," Klaus said to Hassan.
Klaus stopped Hassan and kissed him on the cheek.
Hassan just smiled and walked out of the door.
He went to Ruby's room. She had a healthy baby boy, and he was happy to see it.
He smiled as he held him between his arms.
Ruby named her son William.
He was ecstatic that she had found happiness.
He walked out of Ruby's room, but he wasn't feeling well at the time.
Eventually, his vision blurred as he leaned against the wall.
He felt his heart stop for a moment, and he passed out shortly afterward.
Hassan found himself walking on a road that seemed to have no end.
Suddenly, a huge gate appeared in front of Hassan's eyes.
He heard his father's voice, "What are you doing here?
You need to go back.
You are not finished.
Go back and be happy."
Hassan felt a weight on his shoulders.
A hospital bed was waiting for him, with Klaus standing next to him.
"What happened?"
Hassan asked.
"You had very low blood sugar levels, so you fainted.
I was very worried about you,"
Klaus told Hassan.
"Do you want to be with me?"
Hassan asked Klaus if he was sure about his decision.
More than anything, Klaus assured Hassan of his decision.
"You should know I am a drama queen," Hassan humorously warned Klaus.
"You just had a rough time."
Klaus moved his hand over Hassan's face while replying to him.
"I've missed you,"
Hassan told Klaus.
"Me too."
Klaus shared his mutual feeling with Hassan.
Just when there was a cherishing moment between Klaus and Hassan, he saw that Hassan's phone was ringing.
It was John calling him.
"Hey, John."
Klaus answered the phone.
"Who am I talking to?"
John did not recognize Klaus' voice.
"It's me, Klaus."
Klaus answered.
"Hey, Klaus, where is Hassan?"
John asked.
"He is in the hospital," Klaus replied.
"Which hospital?
Is he all right?"
John asked Klaus anxiously.
"Ruby and my daughter had a baby, that's why we are here.
Nothing to worry about."
"Oh.
And John, Hassan will spend the weekend with me."
Klaus informed John about the situation.
"Okay.
Thanks for letting me know.
Have a good day."
John became certain and bid greetings to Klaus.
"You as well."
Klaus returned the courtesy.
John hung up and smiled.
At the same time, Andrew entered the house, removed his shoes, and walked in the living room.
When he looked up, he saw John smiling.
"Why are you smiling?" asked Andrew.
"Hassan is back with Klaus," John told Andrew.
"Oh, no," Andrew said as if it was not supposed to happen.
"Aren't you supposed to be happy for him?"
John asked.
"We agreed to be together if we couldn't find anyone.
Now my backup plan is gone."
Andrew told John about his plan.
"You are a drama.
There is someone I want you to meet.
Come join us for dinner."
John smirked and invited Andrew over to dinner with Julian.
"Okay."
Andrew agreed.
"I want you to meet Julian.
He is sitting next to Ethan."
John introduced Andrew to Julian.
"You want me to meet Glasses," said Andrew.
"Don't be shallow.
You will love him,"
John replied. Andrew and John joined the others for dinner.
"Where is Hassan?" asked Kara.
"He will spend the weekend with Klaus," John announced Hassan's reunion with Klaus.
"Klaus?"
Kyle was surprised.
"Yes, lucky Klaus," Andrew confirmed Kyle.
"Hassan, the only one I haven't met yet."
Carlos joined the conversation.
"Believe me, your boyfriend doesn't want you to."
"Ouch.
Did you just kick me?"
Andrew had exposed John and everyone laughed.
"Yes, and I am willing to do it again if you don't keep your mouth shut," John warned Andrew by whispering in his ears.
"How dare you?"
Andrew said in a fake British accent.
"Am I missing something?"
Carlos was nascent about the whole situation.
Your boyfriend is threatening me with kindness.
Isn't that true, John?
Andrew taunted John.
Why would he threaten you?
Carlos tried to get the gist of what was happening.
If you want me to save your ass, bring me a real date, not glasses.
Andrew challenged John by whispering in his ears.
Deal, John whispered back to Andrew.
I was about to ruin your boyfriend's surprise, so he kicked me and is now threatening me.
Andrew diverted everyone's attention by changing the topic.
What surprise?
Carlos asked.
Oh, boy.
Andrew shrugged.
It won't be a surprise if he tells you.
Am I right?
Julian joined in.
You are right, Julian.
John approved.
In that case, okay.
I can wait.
Carlos said smiling.
So, Andrew.
Is that your thing?
Using humor as a shield to hide your feelings of loneliness?
Julian infiltrated Andrew's insecurities by asking him about his loneliness.
How did you know?
Andrew was surprised.
I am wearing glasses.
I am not blind.
Julian replied.
I am sorry.
Andrew apologized for his joke on Julian's glasses earlier.
It's okay.
I am used to people calling me glasses.
Julian told Andrew that he was not offended by Andrew's remarks about him.
After dinner, they all sat together, talking.
Andrew took Julian to talk privately.
Julian, why are you here?
Andrew asked.
I am here to meet you and get to know you.
Since I saw you walking with John, I could not stop thinking about you.
I am in love with you, Julian confessed his love to Andrew.
What?
Andrew was shocked at his sudden confession.
Relax, you are not the only one with humor, Julian replied.
For a second, you freaked me out.
But
Andrew was interrupted by Julian while speaking.
Just shut up and kiss me already, Julian asked for a long-awaited kiss.
Oh, sassy.
Andrew liked that.
A long kiss was exchanged between Andrew, who moved closer to Julian.
Everyone was paying attention to what was going on.
Ethan screamed at the top of his lungs.
Yes, Julian.
Show him who is the boss.
Everyone looked at Ethan.
What?
Ethan was taken aback by an awkward silence.
At this moment, I couldn't recognize you.
Pete said.
Shut up, you love me, Ethan replied.
True, Pete agreed.
Don't you have anything else to gossip about?
Andrew tried to stall everyone.
We will leave you alone.
Kara agreed that they all should give Andrew and Julian some privacy.
To Hassan's surprise, Klaus took him to his home.
He escorted him to his room so he could wash up.
It was only fitting that Klaus gave Hassan some of Edward's clothing after the shower.
Klaus then put Hassan's clothes in the washing machine.
Hassan joined Maria in the kitchen as she prepared dinner.
You are back?
Edward asked Hassan.
Yes, I am, Hassan replied.
I am happy to see you again, Edward shared his happy feelings with Hassan.
I missed you, Adrian was also happy about Hassan coming back home.
I missed you too, Hassan exchanged mutual feelings.
Once Hassan was back, Klaus was relieved to see him.
He believed that the days ahead would be filled with joy and happiness.
However, even though he was not mistaken, something was wrong in his mind.
When things went wrong, it was going to be painful.
But he did not know why he had that feeling.
He told himself, "My family is here.
He is here.
What wrong could happen now?"
After having a rough day, Klaus put Hassan to bed after dinner.
They both undressed and he laid Hassan down on the bed.
Under the covers, his arms were wrapped around Hassan's waist, and they kissed.
When Hassan fell asleep, he did so between Klaus's arms, where he felt safe.
As soon as he was sure Hassan was asleep, Klaus closed his eyes and tried to fall asleep.
A vision of himself walking through the woods appeared to Klaus after he closed his eyes.
Nothing but trees could be seen in the distance. In an attempt to find a way out of the woods, he kept walking. To keep walking straight, he heard the voice of his wife, who said, "Turn left." He turned to the left and continued walking until he found Lizzie standing on the edge of a cliff wearing all white.